Welcome and greetings.
This is the first Sunday in Lent. We are glad that you're worshiping with us via social media. If you are, we invite you to light a candle in your home, just as we have candles here representing the very presence of the light of God with us. If you're not a member but are worshiping with us, we certainly see you as our very much our honored guests. I hope you've had a good Ash Wednesday and are starting to have a meaningful Lent.
Let us pray. God of wilderness and water, your Son was baptized and tempted as we are. Guide us through this season that we may not avoid struggle, but open ourselves to blessing through the cleansing depths of repentance and the heaven-rending words of the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Old Testament lesson for today comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods.
Before we pray together, I want to say that after some painful thought, I realized that anyone around the world can watch this service, and we want them to. But for matters of security and safety, I think from now on I'm not going to name names of those for whom we pray. We certainly do pray for everyone who has COVID, who's a COVID caregiver, medical personnel, researchers. We lift them up to you, O God. Let's pray together silently. O God of the covenant, who turned the waters from a cause of death to a very source of life, we praise you for the baptism we received in Christ's name. We give thanks that through him you saw fit to set us apart for some form of ministry. You gave Noah the rainbow as a sign of your covenant, an everlasting promise that you will not separate yourself from us again. You have given your very spirit to rest upon us and also dwell within us so that we are empowered to be in service to you. Truly, we do live and move and have our being in you. You are the beginning and the end of our existence, and by you we were created and today are sustained. Continue to make your presence known in the stressful times of life. Help us to see in creation the many signs of your care for us. Instill within us confidence to trust you, courage to face the powers that threaten us, and boldness to praise your name in despite of all difficulties. Set your covenant, your rainbow above us as a sign of your faithfulness. When Christ comes to us and then bids us come to him, give us strength to forsake all earthly ties and follow. Help us catch the vision that you would have us to have. Give us signs of assurance. Frustrate our efforts when we are headstrong and ignorant. Keep us faithful to our baptismal vows and open to the leading of your loving Spirit. In grace, sustain us always. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from Mark, chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with all the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today we were going to talk about the clock, that other great instrument of navigation, the compass, with its four points, north, south, east, and west. Many of you have a compass in your car, but whether you do or not, something that you will have in your car is a clock. You probably have a clock on your dashboard of some sort, a watch on, a clock. It's part of your smartphone. In the old days when Jesus was talking, he was not talking about time in the sense that we talk about time, an exact measurement of 60 minutes per hour and 60 seconds per minute. But the clock is an important instrument that we have. It made possible the age of exploration. Before the clock, you would not know on a ship how many degrees you were from Europe. In fact, Greenwich Mean Time was the time that was on the clock. And so when the sun was directly overhead, you looked at your clock, and then you looked at the ship's clock, and you could tell how far you were, and certainly on what line of latitude, or actually longitude, you were on. It is time that we live, in our time, we live by the clock. This came about in the industrial age and the train system that was without all over Europe and Great Britain. We like our accurate clocks. Jesus and his folks did not have any clocks. Let us pray. From the cowardice that will not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, and from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. Amen. In earlier days, the situation was reversed. People had a very imprecise notion of time. It was sort of day, or it was night, noontime. They did know that. When the sun was halfway through its arc travels over the heavens, you knew it was somewhere near noon. Gradually, people, of course, some ancient people realized that by looking at a tree or a stick or anything large, that the shadow was different as the day went on. And so they started to tell time roughly with an object that was straight up. How much shadow did it have? So they were looking at these shadows, and then eventually somebody started putting their own stick straight up and measuring how the angle and the shadow, and it helped them know what time it was. If we come on up in history to somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500, people created watches that you wound. They were rather large at first, but they did make navigation much easier. Early people didn't have accurate notions of time, but they did have accurate notions of direction. There was the North Star, there was the compass. The magnetic compass was perfected as an instrument sometime just before the age of discovery. They did not know the exact minute, that they would know that it's around 10:30. But if we go back to Jesus' day, we can look at an even earlier time in the sense of what direction you're going, what time it is, we're together. John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. God spoke to Jesus, saying, "I'm well pleased." And then Jesus was sent by the Spirit out into the wilderness and had a trial by Satan. This was 40 days, the number of days we have in Lent. Lent began last Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, and Jesus' trial began. And then Jesus, about that time, John the Baptist was arrested. And Jesus picked up some of John's great theme and said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is a change of direction, like a compass would measure. And so his ministry began, the moment of truth arrived. It was time for God's children to repent and turn away from the way they were living and thinking, and become faithful to God again. Jesus' short but very specific message meant that whatever their shortcomings had been, whether as a society or individual, God was inviting them back into the fold. It must have been wonderful and liberating to hear this good word preached by Jesus around the area of Galilee. Jesus called on people to repent, as John did, but he was emphasizing another point too. The time is fulfilled. It is now. The time is right. As the Apostle Paul coined the phrase, in the fullness of time. It was time to change your mind, as the word repentance literally means. Mindsets work perfectly for some people, but trip up others. We are precise about time and direction. But for Jesus, the notion of time, it is time, the time is full, it has to do with the direction of your life, the direction of society. It's a new direction Jesus is offering. Jesus' teaching, one theologian wrote, Jesus' teachings were designed to help his listeners understand the nature of this new era, an era of God's reign. The expected eternal fates of the poor beggar and the rich man are reversed in that great story in the Gospel of Luke. The publicans are accepted before the righteous Pharisees. Laborers in a vineyard regain land controlled by a greedy, absentee landlord. The situations, the direction that we thought was life, are reversed. And so that is the sense in which that time was actually reaching for the compass, wanting to change direction. And Jesus wanted to lead people in changing this direction by talking about the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom, God is acting to transform people, to transform the widow's mite into the greatest of gifts being given. There was in Jesus' day the occupation of the Romans, the chaos of the barbarians. People needed another direction. And Jesus said that the time is fulfilled, that we might actually really be able to walk in a different direction, to leave the world that was dominated by Romans and their swords and spears to something that has to do with love and kindness, compassion. Jesus was pointing society in a new direction. Jesus inspired his hearers to make a specific choice that broke with the powers of Rome to create the conditions in which a new world would be created. A world of compassion, a world of parables, and his parables gave us a glimpse of another world where power relations and social givens of this world are suspended and examined, and some of them eventually shattered. So when he talks about the fulfillment of time, it didn't have anything to do with the clock. It has to do with the compass, your personal moral compass and society's compass. And so we are being called in this Lent to reorient ourselves, to go against the status quo, even that internal status quo in this inside of us that says, well, you just can't do it. You're being unrealistic. Jesus proclaims the good news, an approaching dawn when love and a gentle justice will reign. For these 40 days of Lent, let's trade in our watches for compasses and tune in to going another direction, a new direction. Let us pray. God, give us a moral compass, a social compass, a relationship compass, a spiritual compass, a new direction. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and may he show you the way, his divine compass, today and every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.